How old are you? 25, 35, 50, or older? If you have pain, we can help. Do your knees hurt?
Ow.
Let me ask you again. Are your knees killing you?
Oh, yeah. Are they ever?
What about your back? When you bend over, does it feel like this? How about when you get out of bed in the morning? If you're like me, your knees and back feel like this.
Oh, that hurts.
I found a company called the Pain Relief Hotline. They specialize in ways to treat your knee, back, and neck pain without surgery or taking medications. The good news is if you have insurance, you may have little or no cost or out-of-pocket expense. I've used them. It works. Call the Pain Relief Hotline now for free information. 800-303-4607. 800-303-4607. Call now. 800-303-4607. That's 800-303-4607.
You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio, broadcast from George Mason University School of Business. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with my co-hosts, Kristen Rebeck-Cressa, Mark Haas, AEG, John Hill, and George Mason University, Rob Longman, Longman and Van Grack, LaDonna Simon, First Virginia Community Bank, and Steve Marino, Agency Q. We have a great lineup of guests for you on our show today. Would you, John, like to give us a rundown on who we have on the show?
Sure, Herb. Today we're talking with Adam Vinson, who's the co-founder and CEO of Threat Connect. Roger Dow, who's the president and CEO of U.S. Travel Association. Larry Nixon, who's a shareholder at Nixon and Vander High. And Simon Gillett, who's the managing partner at ILD.
Excellent. Let's get to know our first guest, Adam Vinson, co-founder and CEO of Threat Connect. Adam, what is Threat Connect? What are you guys doing?
Good morning. Threat Connect is a cybersecurity company based here in Arlington, Virginia.
Mm-hmm. How large or how small is the organization?
We're about 140 people, have customers around the world.
140 people, and you have customers around the world. And are you one of the founders of the organization?
I am. I started the company along with a few other people in 2011.
So the company is, boy, it's grown pretty quickly, too. Where are you from originally?
I grew up in the Catskills.
How many brothers and sisters?
I have two younger brothers.
All righty. You have two younger brothers. You grew up in the Catskills. And you mentioned you were raised by a single mom. What was going on? What was happening back in your childhood?
Yeah, so I was born in a little town called Catskill, New York. All that good that ever happened there was Mike Tyson came from Catskill.
Yeah.
And it was a tough place to grow up. My mom and dad were never married. My mom got married when I was probably about eight, my first stepfather, and then again when I was probably 15, second stepfather.
How young were you when you started making money?
So I've always had an entrepreneurial spirit. Prior to having working papers, I was out trying to make money mowing lawns. I had a bicycle repair business for a little while.
Why were you doing these things? Why were you, where'd this drive come from?
So I had a challenging childhood, to say the least. My mom needed all the help she could get, not only on the financial side, but also on the kind of family end of the spectrum. And so I just felt like making money as quickly as I could would give her a little bit of relief.
But you also mentioned earlier when we were speaking that you felt like your mom's confidant.
Yeah, my mom was by herself. I was her older son. My two other brothers came at age eight, I think. And so, you know, she needed help, and, I was old enough at that point to
So you've got this drive going. You got this drive going on, but also this deep sense of empathy?
Yeah, my mom made me the man that I am. She may not have helped me in the business side of things or helped me with figuring out how to get to college, et cetera, but she taught me to be humble, and she was there to support me growing up.
How's this empathy affecting your building the business? How's the empathy affecting your building the business?
So growing up in the environment that I grew up in, I had to work really hard. Everyone I knew was pretty much in a blue-collar kind of environment. No one in my family had ever been to college. And what I learned is that, hard work and doing the right things for the right reason would take you far in your life.
Uh-huh. But how about your feelings toward other people? You have a deep feeling towards other people. You're not one to abuse other people, are you?
I view life as you get ahead by working with others, and whether it's the janitor in my building or the CEO of another company, I treat them the same way.
So you don't think you're better than anybody else?
I do not.
Uh-huh. Rob, what are you thinking?
You earlier mentioned you used to work at the stone quarry with your father. What was that like, and what did that teach you?
So the stone quarry is a horrible place to work as a 7-8-year-old. It's very, very hot, and it's backbreaking work. But my father and the people that worked for him took it in stride, and I just tried the best I could to not look like a wimp.
Steve, what was your question there?
Cybersecurity experts were usually good hackers as kids, so come clean. Were you good at that then?
So growing up in the environment I grew up in, we didn't have a lot of money to throw around. I definitely didn't get my computer skills from my mom, but my dad was a big influence in that area because he was interested in computers when I was young, and he got me into it. That just continued to stay with me throughout the years, and it definitely was part of the reason
John?
For what I did.
So, Adam, with your father not around 8 to 18, did your mom or your brothers ask you to be the family protector, or did you sort of appoint yourself? How did that role come about?
My father was not necessarily in the picture from 0 to 8 either. He was involved off and on. It was really 8 when my brothers were born from my first stepfather. And that wasn't the best of relationships for my mom. And so I was definitely very heavily involved in.
And that was your choice? You self-appointed family protector in some ways?
I didn't feel like I had a choice.
Right. And your business now, you protect other companies from cyber threats. Does that influence the way you look at your clientele now? Do you feel like you really need to care for them in that way above and beyond the technology?
I think that growing up in the environment I grew up in, I want to make people feel better just in general. That's something that's ingrained in my personality. And as a CEO of a software company, I want our customers to be happy. I want my employees to be happy.
LaDonna, did you have a question?
I get the feeling that we're not asking you a question. I mean, what did your mom do for a living?
My mom was a nurse.
Okay. And do you think that, you know, her career had any sort of influence on you going into an entrepreneurial sort of role?
No, I do not. My mom worked hard and put food on the table, but I never at any point thought that my mom's work ethic or her background was leading me in the direction I was going. I would say more so that she was leading me towards being a good person.
Mark, Kristen, what do you guys got?
We know that you got a lot of empathy for your mother. What type of empathy do you have for your father not being around you a lot growing up?
So you need to overcome things and go move beyond. And that's a great example of something that I've had to overcome. I wasn't a kid with a father in the picture. However, with that said, I have a lot of admiration for my father because I think that ingrained in me is a lot of his entrepreneurial spirit. He had his own stone masonry business. He got me into computers. I wouldn't be here today if it weren't for some of the traits that I got from him.
Mark?
So you said you started a lot of businesses, a bike repair, a computer repair, etc. A lot of those are out of necessity, but what joy or satisfaction did that bring you?
Staying busy as a kid was really important to me, so I didn't dwell on the situation that I was living.
Mm-hmm. Steven, you have another question there? John?
You said, Adam, that you like to talk about possible inventions and things when you were a kid. Was that just dreamy, or are you really an inventor, and do you bring that sort of attribute to your company and your leadership?
Mm-hmm. I'm definitely an inventor. I'm always thinking about how to make life easier, how to come up with the next big disruptive idea.
Education must have been important, and obviously to get to where you are now. Who pushed you to get there, or did you have to push yourself?
I definitely pushed myself. There wasn't anyone in my family that really knew how I could get to college. I ended up going in the Air National Guard in order to go to school.
Mm-hmm. All right, so it's interesting. You grew up with a lot of adversity. You know, it sounds to me like you're, on one hand, it was very difficult and you're very driven. And you could have gotten very angry, you know, because of all this bad stuff that happened. but you kept on embracing people and pulling them closer. Your mom and the way that you're seeing your dad, you appreciate what your dad, you find what to appreciate in people, don't you, as opposed to getting angry or upset.
I think it's easy to become the victim. I never wanted to be that person. I wanted to overcome, adapt, and grow as a person and help other people grow.
Did your mother encourage that directly, or did you just pick that up moving forward?
I can't say.
Uh-huh. Mark, what did you have there?
So the kids you hung around with as a youth, what role did you play in that group?
I was definitely the instigator. I got all my friends in trouble. I was the leader. We built a lot of things that probably shouldn't have been built.
Like what kind of stuff did you build?
Flamethrowers, things like that.
You were that kind of kid. Okay,
yeah.
I see.
Getting into a lot of trouble ever setting anything on fire?
Yeah, nothing ever burned down completely.
Oh, that's good. Okay, well, you knew you had some idea of some limits there. And today in business, this company is 140 people. It's a very successful business. How high is up? When are you planning to stop?
Stopping is based on our customers, and I don't see that ever.
Yeah. I mean, personally, do you ever see yourself retiring?
Yeah, I think so. I think for the good of my family and my kids, and hopefully at that point grandkids, I would like to retire someday.
You're really looking forward into the future. What's the website address for Threat Connect?
Threat Connect is one word, threatconnect.com.
We've been speaking with Adam Vincent, co-founder and CEO of Threat Connect, here on Executive Leaders Radio with my co-host Kristen Rebeck-Cressa, Mark Haas, AEG, John Hill, and George Mason University, Rob Longman, and Van Greck, LaDonna Simon, First Virginia Community Bank, and Steve Marino, Agency Q. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. It's executiveleadersradio.com. To learn more about our executive leaders, we'll be back in a moment right after this break.
Nice, you did that.
And your name and organization?
Kelly Walter, LMO. It's an advertising and marketing agency here in Arlington.
And what's your role in the organization?
I'm a proposal manager.
So what's a proposal manager do for LMO?
Well, I do coordinate a lot of the pursuits that we go after. I help develop new business for the agency.
Mm-hmm. And tell me more about the detail of what you do in your role as proposal manager.
Well, I write a lot, but really what I do is help develop solutions for potential clients.
So what do you like about your job?
I get to do something different every single day.
How do you figure that? I mean, a proposal is a proposal, isn't it?
We work with so many different types of clients. It's always something, a new industry or a new client that I'm learning about.
So you're like the perfect student. You're constantly learning new stuff and then helping your clients appreciate what you can do for them. Am I correct about that?
I am. I love to learn.
You love to learn. Well, doesn't it drive you crazy, though, because you always have to constantly learn about these clients and what they're doing and how things are changing?
People do say I'm crazy for loving what I do, but I can't help it. I do love my job.
So are you working like 9 to 5?
No, I'm kind of all over the place, honestly. My job's pretty flexible. I can work from wherever.
So you're pretty passionate about what you do. You're not just putting in the hours to put in the hours. You really enjoy at a deep level what you're doing, don't you?
Absolutely. This is what I wanted to do when I was a kid, too. I mean, believe it or not.
What was that? What was the vision when you were a kid? What did you want to do?
I wanted to work for an ad agency. I didn't see myself doing proposals, but I really wanted to work for an agency.
Why?
I just thought it would be interesting and glamorous and creative.
Is it?
I think to a large degree, absolutely, yes.
It's a lot of hard work, too. Sounds like learning about all those clients. What's the website address of this organization?
LMO.com.
Let me have that one more time.
LMO.com.
And your name again is?
Kelly Walter.
And this is Herb Cohen. This has been your Business Spotlight. Don't forget to visit our site, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders.
National Funding Group has just released $100 million in easy access small business funding to businesses that gross at least $100,000 a year. You can have fast access up to $500,000 in new business capital in as little as 48 hours. Think about the ways you could grow your business if you had up to $500,000 cash infusion. Call a NFG funding expert now. The process is easy. It only takes about 5 minutes. Then our management-owned lending team looks at your application for a fast approval. You can get 100% funded in about 2 days. If you need up to $500,000 in working capital to run your business and you gross at least $100,000 a year, call NFG and apply today.
800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. That's 800-296-1564.
Investing is a long-term process. How many times can you think of in the last decade that the stock market has destroyed retirement funds for people just like you and me? For your existing IRA, you need the security that gold has provided for centuries. Remember, gold has never been worth zero. Capital Gold would like to introduce you to the Home Storage Gold IRA. It's a self-directed IRA set up with all the protection and tax benefits of an LLC. But the big difference in this IRA is you invest in gold and you hold it in your possession. You can't do that with stocks. That's security. You can transfer any type of IRA hassle-free in days. Please call right now and learn more, and we'll waive the $500 setup fee and give you a free safe to store your gold. Call 800-223-0092. 800-223-0092. 800-223-0092. That's 800-223-0092.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. I'd like to introduce Roger Dow, President and CEO of the U.S. Travel Association. Roger, what is the U.S. Travel Association?
U.S. Travel Association is a trade association made up of everyone in the travel business. All the hotel companies, the theme parks, the state tourism offices, airlines, rental car. Whole goal is to get more people traveling.
Excellent. Where are you from originally?
Originally from New Jersey, just outside New York City.
Mm-hmm. And tell us about who was a major influence on your life when you were a kid.
I don't say the major influencer in my life was an uncle of mine, Uncle George, who was a manufacturer's representative, salesman, and just a great guy.
So you observed him doing certain things when you were a kid. What did you see him do? Why did that impress you?
The thing that impressed me about Uncle George is, one, he was very successful, but more, he could deal with anybody, whether it literally was the President of the United States or the guys that worked at a car wash. They all loved him, and he loved them.
So you knew that he knew President Nixon, but you also mentioned you went to the car wash with him, and he treated everybody with dignity and respect, and you saw him, he had relationships with everybody.
Phenomenal, and that's, I think, what made him so successful is what he did in life, but he had treated everybody with great respect, and as I said, even the guys at the car wash, and that showed me a lot.
What's that have to do with what you do nowadays?
What I do these days is I've got to bring everybody together. I've got we've got 1,300 members, and they go from Alligator World to Disney. And so the bottom line is we've got to bring them together and treat everybody, whether it's a little organization or a multi-billion dollar Marriott, the same, and understand what's important to them.
Mm-hmm. Steve, did you have a question there?
Yeah, how does being in the 101st Airborne translate into the travel industry and leading people in different ways?
I think being the 101st Airborne, a little bit about survival there when I was in Vietnam. But the bottom line is learning to lead people and learning to lead people who were everything from 18-year-olds to 20-year-olds who didn't want to be here, but we had a job to do.
Mm-hmm. Rob?
Earlier you mentioned you were on a wrestling team, but not just that, you were the captain of the team. What type of leadership skills did you learn from being captain of the team that you use today?
I think the thing I learned you win the match not at the match but in practice before. And so it was about getting everybody to be as prepared as they could and work hard during practice, which wasn't as easy as at the meet itself.
And also, you've also talked about this relationship with your uncle. What other family dynamics did you have that had an effect on your business today?
One of the family dynamics I had that we didn't talk about earlier is I went to school in a town that had a poor school system, and a teacher said to my parents, get this kid out, put him in another school system. So I went, and we lived in a really rich town, and I saw all these kids that were so darn successful. I was jealous of them, quite frankly.
And was that a motivation for you to push yourself forward?
It was a huge motivation. I wanted to be like them. We lived in a little house in the town, and they had tennis courts in their backyard, and it was without question a motivation.
Steve?
What role did your mother play in getting you out of the house to get other jobs?
My mother wasn't a great pusher, but she was always a door opener. She was always, you want to make some money? Go mow some lawns down the street. Rake some leaves. Hey, you can shovel snow. Hey, you want to be a paper boy? She was always opening jobs. She got me my first job at Marriott, which was a career, but not a pusher. But hey, there's an opportunity. Go for it.
Steven, did you have a question there?
Just going back to the military, was your uncle in the military? What motivated you there?
My motivation was called the draft. I wanted no part of being in the military, but I had no choice.
Mark?
So these are all formative years between 8 and 14. In your autobiography, what would be the chapter of your autobiography about those years?
How I got it done through other people.
And Roger, you mentioned your mother told you to get out of the house and get some work done. But how young were you when you started your first business, and what kind of business was it?
Well, if it were businesses, I mowed lawns, cut grass, shoveled snow. But my first business was getting other kids to shovel snow with me so they'd work for me so I could get enough money to buy a snowblower and automate the thing.
So does that help you? Association management is famously like herding cats. You've got 1,300 members, but they don't work for you. You work for them. Has your leadership style always been of that nature, accomplishing through others?
I think so. I think it's trying to figure out what people want out of something and trying to deliver that. In a corporation, you sometimes can tell people, but even in a corporation, it's about, hey, how do we get things done through others?
Kristen?
Sounds like you're quite the chameleon. How did you learn to interact with so many different peoples of different backgrounds and really change yourself to fit in?
I think it came from that growing up with the rich kids, coming up from the poor side of town and all that. So you had to. And I always wanted to be part of the crowd. In fact, I'd run for politics so I could be president of a class so I could get to meet more people.
LaDonna, what are you thinking?
So we talked a lot about, you know, your work ethic. But, you know, in those years as a child, did you have other interests, sports, you know, book clubs, anything that you were interested in?
I played some sports. I played peewee football and baseball and wrestled. Wrestling started early because the guy down the street from his father ran a YMCA. So we'd go down to the YMCA every Saturday, and he had a wrestling mat in his basement. So I started in that sport really, really young because of the fellow who ran the Y.
Absolutely.
If you were the president of your class, Roger, and all, you said all your classes, grade school through high school, why didn't you go into politics? What did you want to be when you grew up?
There's no money in politics. Quite honestly, I wanted to be somewhere in a corporation where I could make some money.
Mm-hmm. So you're the head of this organization known as the U.S. Travel Association. What's the best part of your job?
Best part of my job is I get to deal with everybody. In other words, when I was with Marriott for years, and it was only Marriott. Now I deal with all the hotel chains. The other part is I deal with government. Is frustrating as it is, you know, I've met with the president 3-4 times personally, and that's kind of cool for a little kid shoveling snow.
So you feel like you're right in the middle of it all, and you really enjoy that. It would drive some people crazy having to manage all these different personalities and keep these schedules straight, and you really enjoy that stuff.
I do enjoy it, as long as you have a couple of goals in mind. In other words, it moves slowly, but if you have 2 or 3 things you want to accomplish, you can get it done. But the frustrations can drive you crazy if you listen to them.
In the big picture, what are the major things you want to get done?
Major things I want to do is get more people traveling the United States. We've got 75 million people come here, and it creates hundreds of thousands of jobs, millions of jobs.
Huh. Well, what do you do in your spare time? What do you enjoy in your spare time?
Spare time, not a lot of it. I enjoy walking with my wife. I enjoy being outside. We live in Florida and D.C. I commute from Florida to D.C., so I like being outside. I'm not an avid golfer, but I play at it.
Uh-huh. John?
If Uncle George walked into your office tomorrow, saw the things you accomplish, of what you accomplished, what would he be most proud of?
I think he'd be most proud that I really built a business myself, that I was a salesman. You know, most people say salesmen get no respect, but it's a great profession. It served me, and everything I do is about, I'm a salesman.
But you're the kind of salesman that delivers what you sell and sell what you deliver. You're not promising people stuff that you're not able to do. I mean, you're very proud of the fact that, you know, there's these destinations all around the country that, you know, people really should visit. Yes?
Tremendously proud of it. I mean, one of the greatest things we have as a country is to get more people coming here and going back home somewhere and saying, hey, they're pretty nice people. And I think that serves a big role around the world.
So you truly are an ambassador of travel. You truly believe in the product you're selling. You're not selling something you don't believe in.
No, I believe in this product tremendously. It's one of the few industries where someone can have nothing and go to work, and you can't do that at Microsoft. You can do it without a high school degree, and you can run your own hotel someday.
Huh. What's the website address for this organization known as U.S. Travel?
The webpage is ustravel.org, O-R-G.
ustravel.org. We've been speaking with Roger Dow, President and CEO of U.S. Travel Association, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Back in a moment, right after this break.
Nice.
Do you want to take the great shows of BizTalk Radio wherever you go? Well, now you can with the new BizTalk Radio app for iPhone and Android devices. Now all the great shows of BizTalk Radio are with you wherever you go, just an arm's reach away on your smartphone. Download today at the App Store or the Google Play Store and get the brand new BizTalk Radio app. It's biz for you wherever you go with the new BizTalk Radio app.
If you're suffering from hearing loss, stay tuned for a special offer from the makers of Listen Clear, a revolutionary hearing aid breakthrough designed by top audio engineers to fit your ear almost invisibly. Right now, you can try Listen Clear hearing aids absolutely free for 45 days. You can also qualify for free shipping and free batteries for life. Listen Clear hearing aids are so lightweight and comfortable, you can wear them all day long. They're practically invisible, too, so others won't even notice you're wearing them. And the best part is, you'll be able to hear almost everything, everywhere. So do something about your hearing loss. Call Listen Clear now to get started with your 45-day risk-free hearing aid trial. This special offer won't be available for long, so call Listen Clear now.
800-716-4650. 800-716-4650. 800-716-4650. We're here 24 hours a day to help. That's 800-716-4650.
A message from DAV to returning veterans. Thank you for doing your duty and doing our bidding. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way and putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for defending our freedom and displaying your honor. DAV thanks all veterans by fighting to get them the benefits and support they were promised. Visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help. And the Affordable Care Act guarantees coverage of substance abuse.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation at 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off. Call 800-721-6723. 800-721-6723. 800-721-6723. That's 800-721-6723. Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes.
At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. I'd like to introduce Larry Nixon, shareholder of Nixon and Vanderhei. Larry, what is Nixon and Vanderhei? What are you guys doing?
We're a law firm. We do all kinds of intellectual property, patents, trademarks, copyrights, cradle to grave.
Uh-huh. Where are you from originally?
Central Illinois, farm boy.
Central Illinois, a farm boy. And how many brothers and sisters did you have?
There were eight of us, six boys, two girls.
Where were you in the pecking order?
I was the first.
Uh-huh. What did being the first of eight kids, and you mentioned you grew up on a farm earlier, what did the oldest of eight kids growing up on a farm do to you?
I had to work harder than anybody else and help discipline some of the younger kids, help with the work around the house and the farm, etc.
Uh-huh. What happened when you were 10 years old?
When I was 10 years old, we were tenant farmers and basically went bankrupt and moved to a farm where they produced seed corn. My dad became a seed corn salesman.
So wait, you were aware that dad went bankrupt?
We were on what I call an old McDonald's farm where we had, you know, cows, hogs, everything.
Uh-huh. How'd that make you feel when you were 10 years old and dad's business went bankrupt and you had to move?
Well, I realized that financial security was an important thing.
Mm-hmm. What did you realize about debt?
It was not good to have debt. I wanted to be on a cash basis, and my father decided he didn't want debt anymore either.
Mm-hmm. And you were mentioning something about the way you've built your law firm when it comes to the finances. Want to tell us a little bit about that?
Well, a lot of law firms run on credit, line of credit. We don't. We loan money to the bank rather than the other way around.
Mm-hmm. So you understand how to run a profitable business.
You don't have a business.
Uh-huh. So you understand that those are some lessons you learned as a young kid watching what happened with dad?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And, Mark, did you have a question there?
Sure. Larry, what opportunity didn't you have as a kid or experience that you have been able to capture as an adult?
Well, I think financial security would be one of those things.
Mm-hmm. And what does that mean to you?
It means that I know where the next meal's coming from, and I don't have to. I can provide for my kids and my grandkids, and know that they're going to be well taken care of.
Stephen, you've been working forever. Why not go enjoy the fruits of your labor?
Well, I enjoy working, and so it's always an adventure to go into the office every morning and wonder what's going to happen next.
Uh-huh. What do you mean? I mean, could you financially retire if you wanted to?
Yes.
And so, why don't you?
Well, basically because I like what I'm doing right now, working. I have a relaxed schedule. I don't work as hard as I used to.
Wait a minute. How old are you?
75 in February.
75. What time do you start work in the morning with your emails or answering the phone or whatever?
Oh, about 6 o'clock.
And what time do you stop at night?
Probably about 10.
Wait a minute. Why are you doing that?
Because I enjoy doing it.
Well, what's your
way? I have people all over the world that I communicate with at all hours of the day and night. And they expect to have a response within a few minutes nowadays with email.
Mm-hmm. And you like that?
I do.
Uh-huh.
You have a very strong work ethic. Where do you think you developed that from?
Working on the farm. There's no end to the work on the farm. And when we moved to the seed production facility, a lot of work there, but including detasseling corn. Where you have to get up early in the morning and you slog through mud, sometimes almost knee-deep, to take the tassels off the corn. I don't know if people may not know what that is, but you learn if you got long rows of corn, if you just keep taking one step at a time and doing your job, eventually you get to the other end.
You were the first person in your family to go to college. Where did that come from? Whose idea was that, to get off the farm and go to college?
Probably my mother's.
Was she college educated?
No.
Okay, so why did she have the idea for you?
Well, that was, I think she understood that that was the way up from our position in life.
And did you take to that reluctantly or leap into it?
No, I enjoyed it very much. I enjoyed working at school and coming home with good grades.
Knowing what you know today, is there anything that you would have done differently growing up?
No, I don't think so. I think I had a, looking backwards, I think I had a pretty good time growing up.
Other than getting an education pushed by your mother, what kind of person did you expect you think your parents expected you to be?
I think they expected me to be successful.
What did you want to be when you, I mean, was there something that you wanted to do growing up? What did you want to be?
Well, I was aiming to be probably a professor of electrical engineering. I got a master's degree in electrical engineering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how would you say that relates to what you currently do?
Well, as I was getting my master's degree, I happened to be rooming with a fellow who had decided he wanted to be a patent attorney, and I learned what that was, and it became an opportunity to make some money quickly by coming here to Washington, D.C., working for money during the daytime, going to law school at night, and then I thought, well, if I didn't like that, I could always go back and finish up my school. It turned out I liked it, so I stayed in Washington, D.C. area.
Kristen?
It seems like your whole life you've been working for not only financial independence, but just independence from your family. Where do you think that comes from, and how does that relate to what you do today?
Probably comes from when I was growing up, knowing that you know, there were a lot of other people around that had a lot more than we did, and I wanted to be one of them.
Mm-hmm. Growing up with seven siblings could not have been easy. What did you take away from that as being the eldest to where you are today?
Well, I had to help discipline a lot of the kids. I was 4 years older than my next brother, and I learned to help mediate between disputes.
Mm-hmm. What's that have to do with building a law firm?
Well, it has quite a bit to do with a law firm. There are a lot of disagreements in a law firm.
Mm-hmm. So you understand how to keep the family together. Stephen, what are you thinking? Robert, what else are you thinking?
So you have to keep everyone together from mediation. How do you also use that towards your clients in your practice?
Well, I think it naturally comes to you listen to what the clients want and try to be frank with them about what's possible and what's not possible. To help them come along to understand the realities of a situation.
And so does some of that also come from, I guess, seeing your father declare bankruptcy at the age of 10, where you kind of were faced with the reality of a situation?
Yes, that's stuck with me all the time. He had just barely enough money after the sale of everything that we had to pay off the credit that he had accumulated. And so he went on cash basis after that, and I've been on cash basis ever since.
Other than the financial security piece, what part of being a hardscrabble farm boy from central Illinois do you take into being one of the best IP lawyers? You've been a Virginia super lawyer for 22 years and best lawyers in America. What part of that? How does that translate to being an IP lawyer? Where's the farm boy in your law practice now?
Tenacity.
What do you mean by tenacity? I thought it was going to be intellectual acuity or your scientific abilities. What do you mean?
Well, you have to have some of those things, too. But if you stick with something long enough and work at it hard enough, even though it looked insurmountable when you first started, eventually you learn how to do it.
So persistence is your middle name. Yeah.
Persistence.
Now
right.
Coming into having an intellectual property history and having an engineering degree, where did that love of engineering come from growing up on a farm?
Well, I actually was able to become an amateur radio operator fairly early on in my life because of a friend. In fact, it was the husband of the couple that had loaned all the money to my dad to buy food and stuff before he had bankruptcy. And he loaned me a record to learn the Morse code, and from there I managed to earn enough money when I was working at the farm. I could work for wages to get a little bit of radio equipment together. So I learned something about technology there that stuck with me a long time because I really enjoyed soldering wires together.
Wow. So we're really finding out the genesis of how you got involved with intellectual property was because of ham radio.
Yes, that was a big part of it, yes.
Mm-hmm. Mark?
What do you think your siblings think of you now? Did you become the person they thought you would be?
I think so, yes.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean?
Well, I have the feeling that they look up to me when we have family gatherings.
So have you played with ham radio recently?
No, I still have my license, W4RAU.
I was going to ask you if you knew what it was, and you do. Okay.
I do know what it is, but I'm not active anymore. I was very active in high school. I was a member of the Mars military affiliate radio system, and, in fact, a net control station using Morse code, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So
what do you think about all this digital equipment as opposed to the old tubes? It's not quite the same thing, is it?
Not quite the same thing, no.
Mm-hmm. What's the website address for this law firm?
Nixon-Vanderhye.com, NIXON-VANDERHYE.com.
Mm-hmm. What's the best part of your gig nowadays?
The best part is actually trying to do a good job and getting a comment back from an inventor or a business person that I happen to be working for that tells me that they think I've done a good job.
Huh. So really, it's the satisfaction of working with others, of servicing others.
Absolutely.
How interesting. Let me have your name again.
Larry Nixon.
And the name of the organization?
Nixon Vanderhye.
Uh-huh. And the website address one last time?
Nixon-Vanderhye.com. NIXON-VANDERHYE.
And this is Herb Cohen. We've been speaking to Larry Nixon, shareholder of Nixon and Vanderhye, here on Executive Leaders Radio.
Oh, nice. What a guy.
And your name is?
Dr. Kim Nguyen, Chief Business Development Officer at Pragmatics Incorporated.
And what does Pragmatics do?
We're a federal IT services contractor.
What does that mean? What are you talking about?
We write custom software, maintain computer networks, provide cybersecurity of those networks.
And what's your role in the company?
I'm the Chief Business Development Officer.
The Chief Business Development Officer. So how young were you when you were developing business?
4 years old, actually, for my brother.
Well, what happened?
He was in the Cub Scouts. He had to sell Expo tickets, and I would go around with him at 4 years old. And if someone didn't buy an Expo ticket, I would ask, why don't you buy for my brother?
Uh-huh. And were you doing that? How'd you feel? Why were you doing that stuff?
I think it just came naturally to me. I wasn't set up for it. I just followed my brother around.
So, and you really believed that? You really asked the question because you really wanted the people to buy tickets from your brother?
Yeah, I didn't understand why they wouldn't buy from my nice brother.
Mm-hmm. So nowadays, who are your customers nowadays?
FDIC, Treasury, USPTO, Department of Defense.
So now you're selling to really big customers, and it's really expensive stuff you're selling. What kind of skills did you learn back then selling for your brother that you use nowadays?
It's not really transferable. Things are a lot more complicated now than when I was four. But I think you have to believe in the mission of your customer, and you have to deliver what you say you will.
So you really want to make sure that you know what you're selling, you're proud of it, And what's the best part of your job?
My best part of my job is actually winning business because it transforms the company. It brings a lot of positive energy, new capabilities, and new people.
So when you bring in a deal, when you're able to bring in revenue, it brings in jobs, it brings new life into the business, you really believe in it. What's the website address of this organization?
Pragmatics.com, Pragmatics.
Let me have that one more time.
Pragmatics.com.
And your name again is?
Dr. Kim Nguyen.
And this has been your Business Spotlight.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill. Pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-521-9579 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-521-9579 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-521-9579. That's 1-800-521-9579. Again, 1-800-521-9579.
Do you need a car?
Been shopping only to be turned down because of bad credit, low credit, no credit, bankruptcy, or divorce? Guess what? Today's your lucky day, because now you can buy a car, truck, or SUV, just about any vehicle. It's true. Bad credit doesn't matter. No credit doesn't matter. Bankruptcy or divorce, it just doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, your job is your ticket to your new vehicle. We're Auto Credit Express, and we've helped thousands of people just like you. Antonio H. told us, great company, got me connected, and the day I went in, I drove off in the car I wanted. 100% worth your time. Need a car? Get started now and drive off as early as today. Just go to 11ignoremyscore.com right now. That's www.11ignoremyscore.com. Auto financing the easy way. 11ignoremyscore.com. Get started today. Auto financing the easy way.
Do you want to fly somewhere, anywhere in the world? Smart travelers call MyFlightSearch.com for the best deals on flight tickets. Going to Manila, Bangkok, London, how about Singapore? Call MyFlightSearch.com for the lowest flight tickets available. What about a local vacation? Let's say you want to fly to Vegas, Orlando, Miami, Los Angeles, or Denver. Pick up the phone and call MyFlightSearch.com right now. We have exclusive deals that you can't find anywhere else. The only way you can get these low airline prices is by calling us. We have so many low prices available, we can't possibly tell them to you right here and now. If you're flying somewhere anytime in the next 6 months and you want the lowest airline ticket prices anywhere, you owe it to yourself to save a ton of money. So pick up your cell phone and call MyFlightSearch.com right now.
Call 800-303-3398. 800-303-3398. That's 800-303-3398. Call now. 800-303-3398.
Biz Talk Radio.
Back, you're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohn. We'd like to introduce William Homan, Principal of Design Cuisine. William, what is Design Cuisine?
It's a catering company in Washington, D.C.
It's a pretty famous catering company. Why is it so famous?
We tend to do a lot of our very high-end business, White House, State Department, and many visiting dignitaries to the city.
How large or how small is the organization?
We have 500 employees.
So you created a business that does the White House and very popular events and 500 employees, a large organization. Where were you from originally?
Long Island, New York.
And how many brothers and sisters do you have?
I'm an only child.
So what makes an only child special?
You have to try harder to gain friends and work with other people.
Give me an idea of when you were a kid and you wanted to go play with friends, what kind of stuff did you do?
Well, I had to start a game so that I could get people to join me and we can do something that everyone was interested
like,
in.
Like, give us an idea of a game that you conjured.
We did stickball. So stick I ball. Couldn't do stickball by myself, so I would conjure up some friends and they would all play together, and then we became a team, and then we always played together.
So what's that have to do with building this organization that is 500 people that does catering at the White House?
Well, you have to find qualified and excited people to work with us all the time, and then you have to bring them together and to help face all the challenges. You can only imagine we have to bring everything to a location. So whether it's tables, chairs, china, glassware, silverware, everything has to go from one place to another. So we all have to work together as a team to get it there.
So what else happened in your childhood would give us an indicator that you were going to build this 500-person catering company that serves at the White House?
My father had a great work ethic, and my mother had a great work ethic, and he was in his own business, and my mother was helping someone else in their business, and they made sure that I worked very menial jobs to learn and develop a work ethic.
Like what were you doing at 12?
Well, I was working on the garbage truck in our neighborhood.
Wait. So your father was, these are bright people. He made you work at a garbage truck?
I had an opportunity to work on a garbage truck, and my father thought it was a good idea.
Okay, now I got a question. I mean this. What did you learn working on the garbage truck that has anything to do with building a 500-person business that caters at the White House?
Teamwork.
What are you talking
about? You had to work with everybody, and of course, I was the smallest, youngest person there. Mm-hmm. And as you know, a garbage truck runs down the street, and everyone is grabbing you have a team, right, and you have to go from left to right, from left to right.
I got it, Doug.
Yeah, so you work these menial jobs, and you learn to do everything from the bottom up. Are you still doing that?
Sure.
And why?
Well, because, I mean, I think I have to show my employees all the time that nothing is too menial for anyone. You just have to keep going, and you have to do what it takes to get it done. And sometimes, you just can't sit there and say, well, I don't do that. It's like, no, you do everything. That's what has to happen.
So that helps you build a team and find out who the real good team members are.
Correct. Correct.
Thomas?
William, how long have you run this catering company?
Almost 38 years, 40 years.
Mm-hmm. And when you started it, did you realize that you had found what you wanted to do for the rest of your life?
We started with a restaurant on Capitol Hill, and we developed the catering from the restaurant. And yes, I did find something that I liked. I love dealing with people. I love helping people, and that was the exact thing.
And the food pivot came from where? The experience of working on the garbage truck?
Yeah, no, the food pivot came gradually, because from the garbage truck, I worked as a busboy and then at restaurants, and, it sort of came along the way.
Mm-hmm. When you worked as a busboy, what did you do different than all the other busboys?
I made more money because I hustled more.
What do you mean you hustled more?
And I talked to everybody. My problem is, like my kids say, I talk to a tree. So I talked to everybody and made them all feel happy and made them laugh. And
so what's that have to do with building a successful business?
Well, because I think you need to connect with your customers, and you need to connect very well with your employees so that you keep them engaged and excited about what they're doing.
I just wanted to know the answer. Yes, Elisa?
Most people probably wouldn't say they had an opportunity to work on a garbage truck. That's a very half-full perspective. How has that perspective impacted the difficult times that you've had with building a company this large?
Well, you can only imagine that I was put on there because my uncle was on the board of whatever, of the county or the city. And so these guys looked at me like, oh, this little kid, blah, 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 blah. So it was very hard for me to get them to like me. And it took a while, but in the end, we all became buddies. Mm-hmm. So it was hard, but it was, and I think that challenge helps you in business every day, every single day.
Do you really view everything as a team approach with your employees now?
Yes, very much so. I mean, we everyone works together to help. Because sometimes it's more difficult, sometimes it's not so difficult. You have great clients, you have easy clients, you have difficult clients.
Matthew?
You first started catering in graduate school, and I think you were quoted in saying that you found your childhood dream job. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, because because I worked so many different jobs, I wanted to be in charge of what I was doing. I had some great ideas, and I felt that I could do it, work with other people, and together we could make a very successful business. So when I was in college, we used to buy groceries and go to people's house and cater parties. I would bring other students with me, and we would just, put it together. I mean, was I in the catering business? No, but we figured it out, and we made it work.
What's your experience being around, not just yourself, but being around other people that have not enjoyed their vocation? Meaning, did your dad enjoy what he did for a living?
My father liked what he did, yes, very much so. He taught me to really put my head down, put blinders on, give fair value, and move forward. He said, don't worry about all the chatter around you. Just do your job, do it well, and success will come to you if you give fair value.
And what did you get from mom? Did you bring to work every day?
My mom was the one who was always excited and always passionate about everything she did. Mm-hmm. My father was a little more calm, but my mother was certainly.
But it sounds like you're very passionate about what you do. Does that help make you a success?
Oh, definitely.
What's the website address for this organization?
It's designcuisine.com.
Designcuisine.com. We've been speaking with William Homan, principal of Design Cuisine. Les, can you give us a rundown of who else we've had the opportunity of speaking with today?
Sure. Gil Kennedy, president and CEO of Colombo Bank. Craig Carlini, shareholder at Rubino & Company. We had David Johnson, executive director of C4ADS, and William Homan, principal at Design Cuisine.
I'd like to thank my co-host, Mr. Les Smolin, Vistage, Tom McBride, Cressa, Mike Rossnow, Arlington Chamber of Commerce, Doug White, Glass Jacobson, Elisa Curry Briggs, First Virginia Community Bank, and Matt Lesko and Walderman for giving me a hand structuring the questions, hope you're providing our listening audience an educational and entertaining show. I'd like to thank our listening audience for listening. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a radio show. Michael, what is the website address for the Arlington Chamber of Commerce?
ArlingtonChamber.org.
ArlingtonChamber.org, where we are broadcasting from today. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. It's executiveleadersradio.com to learn more about our executive leaders. Thank you for joining us today, and do have a nice day. Bye-bye.
Ooh, we nailed this one.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. Biz Talk Radio.